little girl was praying, and she said to her mother, she said, "Mom, I'm worried that when God gets to our house, when I'm praying, He's going to say, 'This is where Lauren lives,' and I already know what she's going to say." I wonder sometimes if God, if our prayers are not that way, that God already knows pretty much what many of us are going to say when we are praying, because we have fallen into a pattern of praying that is not at a really mature level that we would like to be in our prayers. And we noticed last Sunday that the disciples came to Jesus on one occasion and they said to Him, "Lord, teach us to pray." And it causes us to realize that there is a deeper level of praying that the Bible speaks about, and that we would be benefited to make a more thorough study about prayer and try to grow in that area in our lives. When we look into the Scriptures, we find that there are four basic areas of prayer, and we can define them differently, but I'm going to use these four terms of worship, confession, petitions, and intercession. Some people like the term adoration, and confession, and thanksgiving, and supplication. You can say it different ways, but there are different areas of prayer. And the question that I'm asking you to think about this morning is, if this was to be set up as a pie and divided into these four areas, if they were all four equal, it would look like this chart that you see on the screen. There would be 1/4 for each one. But if we were to look at your prayer life, how would the circle be divided up? And I think that it would vary for each of us, obviously, but that in many cases it would look more something like this, that there is probably many times 50, 60, 70% of the praying that we do that is in the area of petitions and requests that we make to God of things that we need. And which means that there's much less time that we devote to worship, to confession of sin in our lives, and to praying for others. So I would like for us to think about those four areas, and this morning I'm going to confine mostly my thoughts to the first two of these areas, to worship and confession, and to think more deeply about what these are and what the purpose of these are in our prayers, and how we are to go about giving proper attention to these different areas. And I'd like for us to begin then with worship for God as a area of prayer that we would begin in our prayers talking to God and offering worship and praise and adoration and thanksgiving to God. I'm going to include in that praise and adoration and thanksgiving that all are part of prayer, of worship to God, that we give to Him. As we come to Him, we begin by worshiping Him, by giving Him the glory and honor that He is worthy of. And when we look at the Scripture, we find so many examples of this. And the Bible says that praise is becoming of the upright, that it is beautiful for us to give praise and worship to God. In Psalm 33 and verse 1, the psalmist says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful." And in the New American Standard, it said, praise is becoming to the upright. And it is something then that is good for us to do, to worship and express our worship to God. There's a benefit to us in doing that, as well as it is for God in His honor and His glory, but it also is beautiful and appropriate for us to do that. In Psalm 34, verse 1, the psalmist said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. And I hope you notice there the word continually, that I will bless the Lord at all times, and His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So therefore, we need to give more attention in our prayers to giving God praise and honor. These two passages are right next to each other in the Psalms, and they focus on that thought for us. It may be a very simple prayer that we offer to God when it comes to worship. It might be something very simple, like many of the Jewish people in their prayers to God begin with the words, Blessed be thou, O God. And it can be as simple as that. It can be a very simple three-word prayer that God is great, God is worthy, God is awesome. And we express that to Him. Blessed be you, blessed be thou, O God. But in that, we need to give God this glory and praise Him in our lives. So I'd like to have you think with me about the area of thanksgiving, how important that is when we come to God in prayer, that we spend time giving Him thanks. And in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, of course, the Apostle Paul is where he says that in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And we've all known of people, I'm sure you can think of people like this, that it seems that no matter what happens, they have something to be thankful for. I can think of Mary, I can think of John Castle here, that brothers and sisters like that, that no matter how difficult the circumstances may be, they are always finding something to be thankful for. And there was a man that I heard the story of. He was asked to lead prayer one Sunday morning. But it was on a Sunday morning when the lights and the power had gone off. And it was in the wintertime. There was an ice storm in the area. And the building was very cold that morning. They did not have any lights. They did not have any electricity. They were sitting in the auditorium, just huddled up, almost freezing, and not proper lighting in the room. And he was called on to come up and lead prayer, and everybody was thinking, I wonder what he is going to say this morning. And he said, Oh Lord, we are so glad that every day is not like this day. So there is a way that we can find something to thank God for, even when things are not going well. That, thank you, Lord, that every day is not like this one. Several years ago, I heard this prayer about the homemaker's prayer. And some of you may have heard this, but how it is a good example, I think, of how we can turn difficult circumstances into a wonderful prayer of thanksgiving. And the homemaker's prayer is like this. Lord, we thank you for this stack of dirty dishes. We had good food to eat. Thank you for this pile of dirty laundry. We have nice clothes to wear. Thank you for these unmade beds, Lord. They were all very comfortable last night. And thank you for this bathroom with the soggy towels and the splattered mirror and the grimy lavatory, Lord. They're all so very convenient. Thank you for this finger-smudged refrigerator that needs defrosting so badly. Inside are cool drinks and enough leftovers for another good meal. Thank you for this oven, which absolutely needs to be cleaned today. It has baked so many good meals. Our family is grateful, Lord, for that tall grass out in the yard that needs mowing today. We all enjoy our yard so much. And thank you, Lord, for that slamming screen door. The children are healthy and they are able to run and play. Lord, the presence of all of these chores awaiting me this morning says that you have richly blessed our family. And I will do them gratefully and cheerfully. Amen. So there is a way that we can take these kind of circumstances, even though they may be difficult, and turn them into a prayer of thanksgiving to God. It is important that if we're going to pray, that we pray our thanks to God specifically. I think that sometimes we need to be more like our children in our prayers, that they have this ability when we call on them, like Rusty or one of our other children, to say a prayer. They have that ability to think of everything that they are thankful for. Thank you for Mommy. Thank you for Daddy. Thank you for Brother. Thank you for my toys. Thank you for my room. Thank you for my bed. And they can go on and think of everything to be thankful for. We need to be more like that, I think, in our prayers. We need to take a lesson from them. And be willing to be specific and thank God. We have so many things to be thankful for. For our shoes, for our clothes, for our closet, for our couch, for our home, for our comfortable circumstances, the many blessings that we have. This is probably a little difficult lesson for Dave and Linda this morning because the power went out and they lost their computer and everything else over at their home. And I understand we have days like that. But whenever we are praying, there are things that we can still find to be thankful for. As the song that we sometimes sing, count your many blessings, name them one by one. And if you were to receive a gift from someone or an invitation for a wedding or an anniversary or a birthday, and you attended and you sent them a gift, and you got back one of these cards that had been photocopied. And it had a very basic message there, and you could tell they'd all been run through the copier, and they just signed their name at the bottom of it. We know that does not carry the same weight of gratitude that it does when you receive a personally written card that talks about the things that you gave that person. Thank you for that blanket that you gave us. It is so beautiful. And when we give God thanks for the things that He has given us, that we have the ability to be more specific, to talk about the blessings that He has given you. What must God be thinking when we pray something like this? Lord, thank you for all that I've done for you. Thank you for all that the many blessings that we have. But we're not specific about those. We don't go into any detail to really name the blessings that we've received from God. There's, of course, another type of worship that we engage in. Perhaps the highest form of that is praise that we give to God. When we express specifically praise to Him. And that is something that we all need to give more thought to, I believe. How do we praise God? How do we express our adoration unto God? There's a man named O. Hallisby that was wrote a book about prayer, I think maybe 100 years ago or more, that it is still a kind of a classic on the subject of prayer. But he said that praise lies on a higher plane than thanksgiving. When I give thanks, my thoughts still circle about me, but in praise, my soul climbs to self-forgetting adoration, seeing and praising only the majesty of God and His power, grace, and redemption. So in praise, we are just giving God praise. We're not asking for anything. And because of that, it is a more difficult type of thing for us to do, because it is not about us. It's totally selfish. It's not, "Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. I'm thankful that I have this relationship with you," even. It's talking to God about who He is. And so it is probably the least used focus of prayer in many examples. When we pray to God, we tend to neglect this. Even here in our congregation, while at times we do engage in serious praise to God, I think in many times in a congregational setting, it is rare for a prayer to be completely dedicated to praising God. It's like a little child who comes in and sits down on the couch with his dad, and his dad looks at him reading the newspaper or something. He says, what do you want? And he says, "Nothing. I just want to sit with you, Dad." And that's a sweet thing. That's a beautiful thing when we just want to express praise to God. And we come to Him that way. "Lord, I'm not coming to you that I want anything. I just want to express to you your greatness and your glory and give you the praise for all the wonderful things that you are and what you mean to me in my life. I only want to talk about you and what you are and what you mean to the world, Lord." That's adoration. That's praise. And we have examples of that in the Bible. And we might object and say, "Well, that's just quoting from something in the Bible." But that's okay. It's okay for us to go to God and even use a passage of Scripture from the Bible that is devoted to praise that can help us put our thoughts more into that of worshiping God. Because isn't that what we do with our songs? Every song that we sing is written by someone else, and yet we take that song and we make it our own. And we can do the same thing with the Scriptures that give praise to God, that we can take that and put that into our own thoughts and use that as a way to express praise to God more thoroughly or in a deeper way. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20 in verse 6, he said, "O Lord, the God of our fathers, art thou not God in the heavens? And art thou not ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in thy hand, so that no one can stand against thee." And in 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verses 1 through 4 is a beautiful example of this type of praise. He said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in Him. For who is God except the Lord, and who is a rock except our God?" That is powerful praying. When we go to God and can take those thoughts and make them our own and express that kind of praise to God. That's what he is saying in Psalm 33. Praise is becoming to the upright. There is the 100th Psalm. There is the 103rd Psalm. The 104th Psalm. There are many examples in the book of Psalms where we can find such beautiful expression of praise to God. In the New Testament, in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 17, "Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God alone who is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." And in Revelation chapter 4, verse 8, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." And the thing that is important to see about these is that there is no request here. There's no asking God to give them anything. It is an expression of His glory in His praise. So praise is becoming to God. And as we admire and praise Him, we become more like Him. We become more like Him. And I think that is where the importance of giving more praise to God is. That when we express praise to God, we think about those qualities that He has more, and they have a tendency to then become more like Him. Because if I praise God and I say, "I praise you, Lord, because you are so merciful. You've been so merciful to us." That's going to help me to be more merciful in my dealings with others. And if I praise God because of your great love, that we do not deserve your love, Lord, and yet you love us so much, how can I not be moved to love others that way in my life? And if I praise God and I say, "Lord, we praise you for your honesty, for your truthfulness, that we know that you do not lie to us, you tell us the truth," how can that not help me to be more honest? And if I praise Him for His purity and His holiness, how can that not help me to want to be more holy in my life? So as we talk about the things that make God great in His character, we began molding ourselves into the image of the one that we are praising. So we have access today to many things that can help us become more spiritual. We have access to the Bible. We have opportunities to listen to preaching, podcasts, and different things of that nature. But I'm not sure that we are more spiritual than our ancestors who lived back in the previous centuries. And one of the reasons for that may be that this power of prayer, we have not really tapped into this power of prayer that is available for us. We spend time offering petitions to God. I realize that we go to God and we ask Him for daily needs that we have. But in the area of thanking God for who He is and for all the blessings and all of the things that He has blessed us, that we're so blessed by God, We oftentimes, I don't think, have even touched the surface of what the power of prayer can be in our lives. I want to leave a few suggestions before we go on to the next point about how to praise God. The first one is that we should begin our sentences with "thou" or "with you" when we are praising God. Not with "I," but with "you." And secondly, that when we are praising God, we should use various names and designations for God to give Him the praise. We can think about Him as the Creator. And there's so much that we can talk about there with God, the power of His creation, the beauty of His creation. We can talk about His love. How great His love for us is. He's a loving God. We can talk about Him as the Redeemer, sending His Son to die for us and redeeming us from sin. We can talk about Him as the Almighty, as the Rock, the Strong Deliverer. And we can use Scriptures to find where God is described this way throughout the Bible, and to give Him more and more honor and glory in the way that we address Him and praise Him. So those are some thoughts about worship and adoration. But I want to go on from here to talk about confession for a few moments, and have you think about the importance of confession in our prayers. And it's an interesting word, confession, because it means to speak the same thing. To speak the same thing. Whenever we confess Jesus, for example, because that is one way that we confess Jesus Christ as Lord. When we do that, though, we are saying the same thing about Jesus that God says about Him. God says, "This is my only beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And when we make the confession of Jesus, we believe that He is that. We're saying the same thing that God says about His Son. That's what confession is. But we're talking about confession of sins. And so confession of sins is when we say the same thing about our sins that God says about our sins. So confessing our sins is much more than just an apology. It's admitting in our words to God how we realize that what we have done is just as terrible as what God says it is. Just as heinous in God's eyes as what God says it is when we sin against Him. And this is painful. And that is why it's difficult for us to confess and make proper confession of sins to God. The way we usually pray when we make a confession of sins is something along these lines: "Lord, forgive us of all of our sins." And then we sing a couple of songs and we partake the Lord's Supper. And we have a prayer like that at the beginning of the service. And then a few minutes later, someone else comes up. And they begin and they say, "Lord, please forgive us of all of our sins." And then a little time goes by in the end of the service and we have a closing prayer. "And Lord, please forgive us of all of our sins." And I'm thinking sometimes, what are you people doing out here while we are having this service where you have committed all of these sins that we began and we ask God to forgive us of all of our sins, and 10 minutes later we're asking Him to forgive us of all of our sins again? Confession, though, is being specific. It's not general. And that's the thing that I want us to think about this morning, is not that we simply make a blanket statement: "Lord, please forgive us of our many unforgiven sins." And God just wipes it away at that point. And anytime we bring it up and we say, "Lord, please forgive me of my sins," God just says, "Oh, you said the magic word. And your sins are forgiven." And He wipes the slate clean. But that's not confession. That's what we need to understand. I realize that whenever we call upon someone to lead us in public prayer, that we're not in a position to know the specific sins of everyone out here in the audience. That's not what we're being asked to do in a public prayer. But when we're talking about our own individual prayers to God, what I'm saying to you is that we do need to be more specific when we confess sins to God. And I realize that we can find passages that such as 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. It said that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But confession is saying the same thing about our sins that God says about them. And we treat it sometimes like the automatic save on our computer, that it just happens every so often, without really making any confession that what we have done specifically is wrong in the eyes of God, and that we understand that what we did was wrong, and how serious of a matter that is between us and God. We need to be more specific about that. And I have had so many opportunities in my relationship with my wife, Karen, that I should be the one talking about this morning. But to be able to go to her and say, "I'm sorry, I should not have said that." That we need to have that honesty with one another in our relationship if we're going to have a good marriage. And all of us, I think, can understand how that is true in our marriage relationship, that we need to go to each other and confess and say, I was wrong. I should not have said that. Please forgive me. That hurts. It's painful to say that. But that's honesty. And that's what makes a good relationship. That's what heals something that has come between that relationship. And then we hug each other and we tell each other, "I love you." And then we can go on and we can have a good day. And we can grow in our relationship together because we have a confession that we make to one another from time to time. And we ask each other for forgiveness. So it's important, I believe, that we say to God about our sins what He says about our sins, rather than just putting a blanket statement there. "Lord, forgive us of all the sins we've committed since the last time we prayed." Or, "Lord, I'm sorry for all the sins I've committed," but we still are not being specific. It needs to be more like along the lines of this: "Yes, Lord, would you forgive me when I lied this morning because I did not tell the truth? Lord, would you forgive me, please, when I lost my temper in traffic on the way home from work yesterday? Lord, would you forgive me when I told that foul joke to my co-workers that I should have never told that? Lord, forgive me for cheating on my quiz in school yesterday when I looked over at the next person's paper and wrote down the answer. Lord, would you forgive me for getting drunk last weekend? Help me not to ever do that again. Lord, would you forgive me for lusting when I looked at that woman that I should not have looked at the mall?" You realize that is painful when we make a confession like that to God. It's not easy to do that. It's much easier to say, "Lord, please forgive us of all of our sins." But that's not confession. And there is a benefit in openly confessing our sins. We have had sometimes at the end of the service, we understand that people will come forward and make confession of sins before the congregation. And they know they have done something wrong. But that is a deterrent to sin in their lives. And it is a cleansing for them to make that public confession. It does them good. Confession is good for the soul. And I know there have been times that I've had to go to my own daughters and tell them that I was sorry that I had said something that I know hurt their feelings. Or that I have said something to their mother that hurt her, that they overheard. But I think that if we did that more in our prayers, if we did that more even in our congregational prayers, where we talk more specific about things that we know that are not right in the sight of God, and we said things like, "Lord, I want you to know that I am sorry I lost my temper and acted the way I did, and I need your help to pray for me that I don't react that way." Sometimes we might even need to say that in front of the congregation. Pray very specifically and ask for help in a certain area of our life. There's nothing wrong with that. It's good for us to be open and openly confessing sin rather than just trying to throw a blanket over it. When we look at the confession of David in Psalms 32. David said, "When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. And I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the iniquity of my soul." That is confession. And it was a cleansing for David that he could go on with his life. It may be a very simple confession that we make, but very honest and truthful, such as the man in Luke 18 and verse 13 who said, "The tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.'" So too often we pull the punches and we don't really come clean about what we're talking about when we talk about asking for the forgiveness of sins. Like the man who was married, the woman who was married to a man who drank a lot. And one night he came home and he was totally inebriated. And a tornado came through the area and was going to blow the house down. And so his wife took him and dragged him out in the yard down into the drainage ditch area. And she lay on top of him. And she was praying and she says, "Oh God, please spare me and my drunken husband." And he looked at her and he says, "Don't tell him I'm drunk, tell him I'm sick." Sometimes I think that's the way we do when we pray to God. We don't get very specific at all. And it doesn't do much good. The people of Israel, when they had a prayer about their sins, notice how they prayed. In the book of Ezra, the 9th chapter in verse 6, Ezra led the people in this way. He said, "Oh my God, I am ashamed and embarrassed to lift up my face to thee, my God. For our iniquities have risen above our heads and our guilt has grown even to the heavens. Since the days of our fathers to this day we have been in great guilt. And on account of our iniquities, we and our kings and our priests have been given into the hand of the kings of the lands. For we are slaves," he said. "Yet in our bondage, our God has not forsaken us, but has extended loving kindness to us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, to raise up the house of our God, to restore its ruins, and to give us a wall in Judah and Jerusalem. And now, O God, our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken your commandments." That's specific confession. We read about that in the 9th chapter of Ezra, the 9th chapter of Nehemiah, and the 9th chapter of Daniel. In all of those three books, in the 9th chapter, They were men who were praying to God on behalf of their nation, and they called it like it was. They said the same thing about their sins that God said about their sins. And it may be that we need to engage in that more often, as a congregation even. Because certainly in our private prayers, we need to talk to God about where we are and the things that we know that we have sinned, that we have brought dishonor to Him, to make it very clear, Lord, we know that what we did was wrong. Please forgive us and help us to overcome that. Statement that I like says prayer changes things, but more often, amazingly, it changes prayers, meaning those who pray. This morning it may be that you are here and you have a confession that you need to make. It may be the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord. You may need to acknowledge this morning that you say about Jesus the same thing that God says about Him. That He is the Christ, that He is your Lord. Or it may be that you need, in your private prayers, to confess your sins in a way that is what God says about them. Or maybe even we in our congregation need to confess areas where we have failed, where we have come short, and to say the same thing about it that God says about it, so that He can forgive us, so that we can be in a better relationship with Him this morning, and we can leave here strengthened and determined to do more perfectly the will that God would have. We're going to stand and sing the invitation song this morning. Thank you for your kind attention to the lesson. As we think about prayer, how would your piece of pie look as you broke it into the four areas of prayer? See if we can't make it more balanced, if we cannot give more attention in those areas that we might intend to neglect some of those, and see the richness of prayer that can come when we give attention to the areas of adoration and praise and confession in our prayer. We're going to stand and sing, and if you're subject to the invitation, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.
We're going to change that song.